You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Great to have you here for the second hour. And we had Ross Dellinger on in the first hour. He had some very interesting comments about Florida State and Clemson, where they could end up in the future. And it's not where they currently reside. Brandon Marcello will join us a little bit later on NIL, and the legendary Kirk Bowles. He has been covering Texas for more than 50 years. You heard me correctly. He'll join us later in the show. Logan is up next. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today, buddy?
Very well.
Good. Man, I'm glad to have you back. I was just going to call to talk a little bit about the Alyssa versus Jim matchup the other day. Did you get to hear that, or I'm sure you've heard about it?
Yeah, I heard was an abbreviated clip that we played yesterday, but that is my extent.
Yeah, Jim went after her really hard, and you could tell it was kind of awkward for her. She was like, whoa, I'm not used to. Because I think most people usually try to placate her. She's such a nice person. I mean, why would you want to attack somebody like Alyssa?
A couple of years ago, she was here, and Jim said that she was by far the best person that he had ever heard on TV.
Exactly. He's always trying to placate her. So when I was listening to this show and I heard him say that about her, I couldn't believe it. And she was starting to get a little bit awkward. And then all of a sudden, guess who comes in to save the day? You hear a click, and old AJ comes riding in on the horse, and he detonates on Jim, diffuses the situation. Jim hangs up. So I thought that was pretty funny that AJ was the hero of the whole thing. But Jim, man, I just want to say to you, dude, you are a freaking loser, man. You're picking on Alyssa Lane, one of the nicest people on the network. Why don't you get a freaking life, man? People are sick and tired of you calling the show with your crap. I don't understand it. I thought you had quit the show. Everything was going well. And now I hear this crap. So, look, dude, just stop calling the show. Everybody will be a lot happier. Okay, man? Thank you. Paul, that's all I got, brother, man. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Logan. Appreciate your call. Fred is in Memphis. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great.
Do you happen to have your schedule on your trip to Memphis?
I know it's next week.
Next week, okay. I have texted Mark Giannato, and I expect to hear from him. But a couple of comments. I don't think you have anyone calling in that can go back 75 years on basketball in general, and Kentucky basketball in particular.
No, I don't think so.
And also, are you aware of the original transfer portal rule that was implemented back in the 50s and 60s as far as what the specifics of a transfer letter meant?
No. Tell us about it.
All right, I can give you firsthand experience because I had to sit down with my son at Memphis State in front of Richard Williamson and Jimmy Ragland. This was at the end of his sophomore year. We had discussed it. The procedure at that time, Paul, required someone, preferably a parent, would go in, meet with the position coach and the head coach. And the procedure did not allow a transfer within the conference. Then you had to get a letter of release. Now, during that conversation, naturally, Coach Williamson and Coach Ragland knew that my son was pretty intent on leaving. However, once we left the meeting, they sold him with a hard sell. He must stay. We've got to have you. So that is just a little inside information on how the original transfer procedure worked. So it's not anything like it is today. So
that's interesting. No, Fred, I knew it used to be pretty draconian. I didn't realize to the extent. Well, thank you very, very much for sharing that with us. And George is up next. John is up next in Georgia. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing well.
I had a question for you. I'm not sure if you've heard the rumors about Ra-Ra Thomas possibly leaving UGA.
I have not heard that, no.
His Instagram page has been wiped, and I have a few friends in Athens, and rumors have been circling all day about him possibly heading out. Do you or your people know anything about this? Or I know the trouble he got into was in January was dismissed, but...
John, we have not heard anything. We'll see what we can find out, but that is the first we have heard. I appreciate the update. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with George, who is in Louisiana. Hey, George.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Listen, I just wanted to call. You know, Chris from South Carolina, I guess he's talking about that little bitty stadium they've got there that he likes to call Death Valley. There's one Death Valley. It's in Baton Rouge. I'm sorry, Chris. That's just the way it is. Another thing, I don't know, and I hope that that maybe they've done something with that mascot. Their mascot looks like a tiger has been smoking crack. Looks like a crackhead tiger. And they need to do something about that. We took up the students at LSU after we whooped their butt in the natty, took up a GoFundMe page to try to buy them a new mascot because that thing looked pitiful. Another thing about Jim and Alyssa the other day, Jim was just his typical self. And, you know, I'm sorry, Logan, say Jim get a life. This is Jim's life. Jim has no life. He has no talent. He has no sense. And, you know, he was made a fool of himself in front of Alyssa and in front of everybody that listened. And she did a great job. She listened. She smiled. And you could tell it made her a little uncomfortable. I really didn't appreciate it when he said something about, Laura Rutledge. She wasn't even there to defend herself, you know. He's bringing in all this crap. You know, I worked in psychology most of my life, and we look at speech patterns. We call what Jim does tangential, which means that he goes off on tangents. And that's what he was doing. He was talking about Alyssa about one thing, and all of a sudden he goes off on a tangent about how the only reason they got on the network is because they're pretty girls. You know, Jim is just a fool. Jim is never going to be anything but a fool, and he doesn't know anything about sports. He comes on here and says he used to play ball, but I don't think he did. Anyway, have a great day,
before
Paul,
you go, George, George, if I could ask you a question, because I don't often get a chance to talk to somebody with your expertise. How would you recommend us dealing with him in the future?
Just get a quick trigger on that hang up button. He's okay. Not going to change. If you listen to his calls over the years, they start out one way and they'll end another way. They are never consistent throughout the call, unless somebody said something good about him. Then he'll sit and talk for a while about, well, that's a great caller. He loves that caller. And then he'll go boop, off on a tangent again. And there he goes. And he might talk about anything. You don't know what he's going to talk about. So, I mean, you know, I really think he's sick. I think he's got some issues. I feel the kind of pity for him that I would feel for any other dog on the side of the road that's making a fool of himself. That's what he does. He makes a fool of himself, and he comes on here and he tries to tell Alyssa that he's the greatest caller in the history of the Paul Feinbaum show. I mean, maybe he is. I don't know. But, I mean, he seems like he would have more aspirations than to be the greatest caller on a sports radio show. So, anyway, I hope that I hope that he keeps calling, because it is kind of funny from time to time. But anyway, you have a good one, my
thank
man.
You. I don't know. I think it's a pretty good goal to be the greatest caller in the Paul Feinbaum show. But maybe I'm a little too close to the sun. We'll take a short break. We are back with much more right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
That was a recap on Friday for those of you wondering what all the calls are about. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big balling, good and sounding good as always. Now, I was watching your show when those two went at it. And that Jim, I'm going to tell you what, something ain't quite right with him. And I agree with George on one thing, that if all he thinks is the greatest sports caller on the air, I don't think he is. And every time he comes on, Del Vito pulls out the mute button and shuts him up. But George was wrong. And I've had Clemson Tom come in here and tell me that they've been calling Clemson Death Valley since 1946. And from what I understand, LSU didn't start using the term Death Valley until the early 60s. Is that correct, Mr. Feinbaum?
I will have to check on that. I don't know.
All right, I'd like to find out for that, but that's what they've been telling me. And I have noticed in the state newspaper here years ago, they were a Presbyterian coach called it Death Valley back in 1946 when he would have to go to Clemson to play Clemson. Of course, Presbyterian was a small college, got their butts whooped every time. Of course, South Carolina beat them too. But anyway, you check on that for me, and y'all have a great day, and God bless y'all.
Well, thank you very much. Do you tell Junior hello for us? Ray is in Indiana.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? I ain't talked to you probably 6 months to a year before that Jim Harbaugh and the cheating scandal. Now, I've been watching YouTube for the last year or two, and they think that Michigan's going to get hammered by all this cheating scandal and everything. And I remember Harbaugh, you know, that cheating scandal where that guy went to Central Michigan for the Michigan State game. That's the only game they lost in the Big Ten in 3 years, was that one game to Michigan State. I think you guys outplayed them, Alabama, in that bowl game. They overturned that interception that shouldn't have been overturned, and a completion and a roughing the punter. So what do you think of this? You think they're going to hammer them or what?
No, I don't, Ray. Now that Harbaugh is gone, I think most of the damages have been mitigated. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. LB in Birmingham.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy?
LB.
Yeah. Hey, legends from Walker County.
That's what he said.
Yeah, he might have seen me win a state championship football game back in the day. I've got a question for you, Paul, and this might put an end to everything. If you were a visiting angel, who out of Jim from Tuscaloosa and John from St. Louis, who would you have to sit with? Who would you pick?
Well, I'd rather spend time with Jim from Tuscaloosa than John from St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah, I think John from St. Louis is the devil incarnate.
Well, I mean, you would rather spend 8 hours a day attending the gym from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I think he's got more potential.
Well, I think that's a good poll question, don't you?
Well, I mean, there's nothing good about John. I mean, he's creepy. He's living in 1963.
You're talking about Jim.
He has emotional issues. He flies off the handle. What was the question
again? What are
you
talking about? Well,
that's how I feel.
I disagree with you, Paul.
But you're welcome to do that.
Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I feel like when I talk to Jim, there's a conversation going. I feel like when I'm talking to John, I'm speaking to a cadaver who just happens to have a voice box. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, brother. Hey, John, I want to give you some good news. Before I talk about any of the football, my locator probably found me an apartment. I'm going to try to apply there.
Okay.
See what kind of rent I'll be paying. Like, it's a base income, but I need to see how much they're going to charge me in rent. And then once I find that out,
how much can you afford to spend, you know?
Well, I get some money in Social Security and I get my job money. So I couldn't afford $1,000 or $3,000.
What you need to do, and I was always terrible about this at your age, but I mean, you need to kind of have a plan. You need a budget where you can't go. You don't want to blow all your money on one thing.
No. I'm not going to do that. If I do, it's going to be a budget.
Okay.
I'm going to do my reading program to my brother Mitch, and to my other brothers like you and everybody on this show. He's done so much for me in my life, and like I said, I always really appreciate that, Paul.
Well,
and
Matt,
you
know you've got friends here if you need some help.
I know that. I want to help this upcoming season. I watched a spring game, Paul, like I was telling you. What jumped out to me is I like our defense. I like our secondary. Last year, it was like watching The Walking Dead, the secondary, to put it mildly. And I like this year that Mike Elko as our new coach. He's making this better on defense. The way they play was physical, man. And they already got another linebacker in the portal. They're trying to get that Penn State wide receiver. I can believe open up the offense down the field. I like what I see this year. I don't think the offense is going to be a problem. But if you had to make your objective opinion on this team this year, not just from the spring game, what is your thoughts?
I'm pretty high on A&M. I saw a poll today where they could legitimately be preseason somewhere in the top 25. I don't know if you heard Lucci here yesterday. He was pretty upbeat. I mean, there's some question marks, but you understand that after Jimbo Fisher. Squirrel is up next. Squirrel, can you help out our friend?
You talking about Matt?
Yeah.
Well, I tried to help him, and he didn't take my advice. And you know, he doesn't include me in his list of brothers, and I guess because I stepped on his ambassador dream to the United Nations. I don't know, but good luck to Matt. That's all I got to say. But I was just going to call and say I agree with you 100%. If I had to pick between John and Jim, it would be Jim without a doubt. John has become probably the most boring, pathetic caller to your show. I mean, the first two or three times John called, I thought he was great. But literally every call John makes is the last call John makes. And he's gotten in some type of habit, like some type of 8-year-old child of calling every 5 minutes in the last hour. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, no, he's I think you're right. I mean, Jim, I mean, to me, what the thing I do respect about Jim, among many things, is that he's not a fraud. He's not a fake. He doesn't hide behind things.
Oh, no. He is a fraud and he is a fake. I correct you on that.
Okay.
George nailed him 100%. The caller George a few calls ago,
really?
Nailed him 100%. When a person cannot tell you his name off the air, Paul, you're a fraud and you're a fake. When you can't name your team mascot, you're a fraud and a fake. I mean, let's just be real. But when he pissed me off the other day, it was when he brought Laura into it. You remember when I gave you that arrowhead a couple years ago?
Yeah.
In Oxford?
I sure do.
I gave Laura 4 arrowheads.
Ooh.
That tells you what I think about her.
You like her, you know what I mean? At least four times more than you like me. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, basically. But so that thought
I we were friends.
Well, we are. But again, I thought that was kind of chicken, you know what, of Jim. But again, that's typically the way he operates, picking on people when they're not even there to defend themselves. Not that Alyssa didn't defend herself. She did a great job. And when she he asked her how old he was, and he wouldn't answer, and she asked him, he asked her, and she says, I'm 30. And how old are you? And he just stuttered. I mean, it was kind of, that was just classic radio right there. You really need to go back and listen to the entire tape to kind of get a perspective of what's going on. But thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you very much. Wow. Trying to defend Jim, and I walked into a brick wall there. We will take a break. We have more guests to come. Brandon Marcello, the latest on NIL. Have you ever heard that before? He takes a very interesting take on it. We'll talk to Brandon right after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Headline from CBS Sports. NIL landscape in college sports changing. NCAA is losing its grip. Man, when are we going to see a headline that says the NCAA has regained its grip? Can you say never? Brandon Marcello joining us, who's written that piece. Brandon, great to have you on. You've done a really deep dive and where we are a couple years into NIL. Just pick up on your story and frame the conversation about where are we right now?
Dummies, because it's changed so much just in the 3 years since it's been around and became quote-unquote legal across the country in some instances in July 2021. And it seems like every time the NCAA loosens its grip and gives up an inch, lawsuits and other schools take about a foot away. And we've seen that most recently here in the last 2 to 3 months. Of course, last week, Virginia, the state of Virginia, making the biggest push, deciding to adopt a state law that goes into effect in July that allows schools to directly pay athletes for their NIL through their own athletic department funds, which is quite a bit different from what was a quote-unquote controversial subject just a year ago, when states like Arkansas and Texas were allowed by state law to allow their NIL collectives that were off on their own to be officially associated with their athletic departments, though the athletic departments were not paying them directly. So we're seeing step by step, state by state, them marching on Indianapolis, so to speak, and saying, hey, the NCAA, your rules right now, whatever they are, we're not adhering to them. And it's really going to be fascinating, Paul, here in July through August into next fall, when the state of Virginia says, we can do these things that are against NCAA rules. Which schools, Virginia, Virginia Tech, James Madison, do they decide, let's go ahead and follow our state law and break NCAA rules and dare the NCAA to come at us? Because as we've seen, if that happens, the state will just take them to court, and the NCAA has not won a lawsuit or any legal battle here of late in quite some time. So keep an eye on this, because I think the state of Virginia opened a lot of eyes. Heck, some ADs in the state of Virginia weren't even quite aware that this law was being presented here recently, but they're all for it. Now we get to see what other states across the country maybe try to adapt and adopt similar legislation, because I think that very well could be coming in the next few months.
Brandon, we're about to enter that time of the year when everybody has a meeting, whether it's the CFP or the ACC, the SEC, you know the drill because you're at most of these things, and it never fails that someone or some commissioner says what we really need is a national plan. We need Congress's help. I know that's coming because it always comes this time of the year. Are we any closer to this dream here?
No, I think we're further away personally from talking to people because we're getting closer and closer to a presidential election. And I say that because it's been very difficult for Democrats and Republicans to work together on anything, even this NIL legislation. We've seen over a dozen proposals presented, and none of them have made them out of committee. So nothing to me shows that with the presidential election coming and everybody kind of standing on their own sides of the aisle, that they're going to be willing to come together and work together with a presidential election hanging in the balance and approaching day by day. Of course, conference commissioners and others, they do want NIL legislation that's nationally. I think a lot of people do, but everybody has their own motives, right? And of course, the thing that comes up the most is antitrust exemption for the conferences and for the NCAA. And with, of course, what happened 3 years ago with the Alston case and other cases and court injunctions since, it's been very clear that the law is saying you do not deserve or should have an antitrust exemption because you're just trying to kind of keep these kids down and not earn what they quite want and not save yourself in the meanwhile of being sued like the NCAA continues to be facing in courts. And right now, I think the biggest battle, of course, is the National Labor Relations Board. Their suit against USC, the Pac-12 conference, and the NCAA that could result in back pay for about 15,000 student athletes in a class action lawsuit, which could amount to $1.4 billion. But Paul, as you know, with class action lawsuits, that amount could triple because it's a class action lawsuit. So they could be on the hook, these conferences, for $4.2 billion in back pay. And you can bet the schools, the conferences themselves, are trying their best to save as much money as they can and earn as much money as you can. And I'm not saying that directly. That's why you're seeing the Big Ten and the SEC trying to get as much money as they can for the college football playoff, or Florida State trying to leave the ACC, or Clemson as well. But it all goes back to money, and everybody is trying to prepare themselves for an unknown future, which at the very least seems to be a much more expensive athletic venture for all schools involved.
Brandon, you mentioned the ACC, and not to get into the weeds because nobody wants, there's enough litigation going on right now on TV every day. We don't need that. But ultimately, if you could look down the road, maybe not that far down the road, what do you think is going to happen with the ACC schools?
Well, Florida State wants it bad enough, and Clemson's showing that they're willing to kind of poke holes on other aspects of the legal battle. I think that Clemson and Florida State, in some ways, not only are teaming up against the ACC, but they're going about it different ways to see which hole they poke ends up being the biggest. And then they kind of attack and feed on the elephant, the pack of lions, so to speak. I think in the end, it results with Florida State and or Clemson both leaving the ACC within the next 3 years. That's my personal opinion. That's the feeling I get from talking to people across the country and in the ACC. Once you go to court, it's very hard to come back and be able to reform business relationships, let alone personal relationships. And I think in the end, this all ends with Florida State and Clemson leaving the ACC, and who knows where they go from there. I would think one of the big two conferences, but that will be very interesting to watch. I don't think there's really any good way to predict which conferences they would land in.
But Brandon, you know the same people we all know, and you're tight with a lot of these administrators, and nobody has really said anything good about Florida State privately, which may not mean a lot when push comes to shove, but do you think it will be contained to only those two if the ACC starts to show bigger cracks?
No. And I think that's, of course, we always talk about dominoes. We've seen it with realignment. This would be, I think, even a bigger domino because you're talking about, this would be a domino, I think, that would be very similar to what happened in the Pac-12 this past calendar year, where if those two schools were to leave, you're going to have a couple of others looking to try and leave and find a better spot. And that conference could very well crumble. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but when you've got your two biggest universities with the most notoriety there, looking to get out, and they're not just looking to get out, they're taking to court over it. That one is going to get very messy. And in the end, I would think before they get too deep in the weeds, there will probably be some type of settlement reached to where Florida State and Clemson pay a certain amount of money and they just get out of the conference. Not necessarily a huge buyout. We're talking about $500 million, but something smaller that they're able to finance and get out and see where they can land. And I'm with you, Paul. I'm hearing the same things. There's not like really a lot of people saying, yes, we're going to take Florida State. I mean, I had some Florida State people telling me as far back as last spring that, hey, the Big Ten will invite us. And I went around, talked to the Big Ten circles, and they're like, no, we wouldn't. Not right now. Not the way things look and the way things we would project with the program like that. But as you said, Paul, when push comes to shove and there's an opportunity to add another program before another rival conference does so, and then potentially other programs are leaving the ACC, you got to make a big decision there. And I think, of course, at some point, the Big Ten or the SEC is going to be willing to take one or both of those schools,
yeah,
and maybe more.
And I know Florida State and Clemson fans won't want to hear this, but the people that we talk to, Brandon, and will continue to talk to, just don't find either one that attractive, do they?
Not right now. And of course, you also had, I know we all talk about the TV model, and people have said, well, it doesn't really make sense about markets and all that. But listen, there would be some pushback for Clemson. I mean, South Carolina is not going to want two schools in that state in the SEC. I mean, as we saw just 2 years ago, Texas A&M was very much against the idea of adding Texas. That's why they joined the SEC to begin with. They wanted to get away from Texas, and they were against that till the 11th hour, and of course didn't have any say really in blocking Texas to get in. And of course, I don't believe Florida would be all that welcoming to the idea of, yeah, let's just let Florida State in. You're talking about, you know, not just dividing dollars, but more importantly, you're talking about providing more visibility to one of your rivals that you have to deal with every single day in business and recruiting student athletes and even getting coaches. And that's something that behind those closed doors, not that those programs and some others in the region just don't quite latch onto all that quickly.
Great stuff, as always. We'll see Brandon soon as the crazy season begins here. Brandon Marcella joining us. We have another guest a little bit later on. We've had a couple of really interesting ones. Your phone calls right around the corner.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Saturday night, how about this one? Mississippi State at Missouri, two highly regarded teams, prime time from Como. And we're back, and Brad is up next in Georgia. Hey, Brad.
Mr. Paul, how you doing, brother?
We are great, thank you.
Hey, man, I'm excited about this year's upcoming draft. We got a lot of SEC players that are really going to be in this first round. Jane Daniels, Neighbors, from LSU. And I'm jumping back on the Atlanta Falcons bandwagon now that they have Raheem Morris coming in, really good defensive coach, and he's going to start it off the right way by drafting Dallas Turner, the best defensive end, edge rusher, coming out of this year's college ranks. So I'm pumped up about it. And in Georgia, have some good draft picks with Bowers and Mims. And Mr. Paul, I give it to you. I'd like to hear what you got to say about it.
Yeah, you know, Brad, you're right. I mean, every year we see the same statistic about the SEC in the draft, and not changing anytime soon, although Michigan has a few players this year. Johnny is up next in Athens. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Paul. Man, what an honor it is. I'm just a huge fan of yours and the show. I've had a couple of opportunities to see the show live over at the Myers Quad there on the UGA campus.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Always have a great time. Yeah, so to get to the point, I just wanted to just talk a little bit about the drama, you know, that's been happening the last few days with Alyssa, you know, and the cast of characters from the show. And I was thinking about, you know, how we all wear lots of different hats in our lives in the workplace. And I really wanted to commend you on your role as sort of a mental wellness caregiver and coordinator. And I was thinking specifically about just the dramatic turnaround that we've seen in Matt in the last few weeks. You know, Matt was going through a hard time, and seems like Squirrel gave him some tough love, and a lot of your viewers and fans called in and supported Matt, and, you know, we're just seeing the fruit of that. And in light of that, I'm thinking even people like Jim and I-Man and AJ and others, you know, we should just allow them to just air out all of their issues and, you know, just let the healing begin on your show. I'm just curious how you feel about that.
Yeah, Johnny, thank you. I don't think that was ever the intent when we started, but that's where we are right now. And I think you have to embrace it, and we do. And I think it's easy to be judgmental, but we're gratified and really blessed that so many people look at this as a way of meeting other people. I mean, I don't want to say it's like a social media site or a Facebook page, because it's not. But it is a way for people to meet others and maybe get some help that they probably need. And I think in Matt's case, I can tell you at least three different callers that I know have reached out to him privately and have offered him counsel. And I think it's been beneficial. Thank you very much.
Paul, I really appreciate it. Hey, can I add one other thing, Paul?
Of course.
Yeah, I was just going to, on the case of I-Man, I just wanted to mention, I am a big fan of I-Man's, and I wanted to get your take on this. I really like the fact, honestly, Paul, that I-Man brings his hate for Alabama and Nick Saban to the show. I mean, in my mind, that's just kind of the cornerstone of the entire rivalries that are built in the Southeastern Conference that you allow to take place. I think folks have really gotten down on I-Man. I think he's just doing his job as a great fan, and I'll end and let you maybe comment on that.
Well, Johnny, thank you. One thing we never discourage here is uncut honesty, and that's who he is. He doesn't try to politically correct himself around the program. Great to hear from you. Thank you very much. Ryan is in South Carolina. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, man. How you doing?
We are doing great.
I've just been noticing this from press conferences around the spring games, but I just, in your opinion, do you think there has to be a different kind of coach, head coach now with the press? Because it seems like, or I mean, as far as talk, it just seems like I can't tell if they are answering the questions or they're communicating with the team through the press.
Brian,
you know what I mean?
Hey, Ryan, that's a great, let me tell you a story on that. When I was in Birmingham and Nick Saban got to Alabama, we became very close, and he would call me occasionally. Now, I was naive enough to think that he really wanted a relationship, okay? What I didn't understand, he didn't want a relationship. He wanted an outlet to communicate to his own team, to his future recruits, and third and least important, to his fan base, because he never called and said, "Hey, what do you think of the weather?" It was always a message, and he's not alone. I think Kirby Smart's the same way. I think a lot of these other coaches, Lane Kiffin, they know that they have certain outlets to communicate, but whenever they go public, they are message oriented, just like politics. And I think that's a very brilliant deduction by you in regard to that.
Well, it's funny because I've just noticed it on the spring game because I'm a Gamecock fan, and we never know who's going to be taking the first snap. So, you know, Beamer's kind of, you know, kind of veiling everything. But, I mean, everyone kind of knows what he's saying, but nobody can really print it because
it's the new medium, though. And not to give a manifesto here on communications and journalism, but we are conduits. I was with Barry Switzer the other day, and we were talking about one of his famous players, and he said, you guys created him, not me, meaning the media. The media serves multiple purposes, and today it's a vehicle for coaches to either use or ignore. I think it's always better when they use it, but we understand that. There's no longer any naivety about what we do here. And I don't mean to diminish the profession, because I feel like this program's at a different platform and a different lane than conventional media, but you have to understand what it's all about. Thank you very much for the call. We are halfway home on a Tuesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.